Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. I'm your host, Nathan Dominitz of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. And we talk about Georgia Southern Athletics, and this is the second episode of the 2021 football season. We're recording on Tuesday, so we're talking about the Florida Atlantic Owls hosting the Georgia Southern Eagles this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. down in Boca Raton. And my guest today, my special guest, is Brett Schwecke from the Sun Sentinel down there. And Brett, how long have you been with the Sun Sentinel?
Man, it's like, actually, it's funny. It's almost been about 3 years now, like right up on that cusp. So yeah, 3 years now, been dabbling with high school and kind of getting into the college scene now a little bit.
Okay. And you've been covering a Florida Atlantic since the beginning of camp, right? I guess right around that time?
Mm-hmm, yeah, beginning at camp, doing the preview and everything. The Sun Sentinel's last guy, Kobe Price, he got onto bigger and better things. So I'm kind of taking reins for, I guess, the temporary time.
Okay, yeah, Kobe was on the show last year, did a great job, and I know you'll do a great job today. Well, let's get right at it. For people that have want to talk about the Florida Atlantic Owls, they the head coach is Willie Taggart, who's very well known around college football. And what were the expectations for this season coming in? Before we get to how they did last Saturday, what were people expecting?
Yeah, so I think expectations, I mean, you know, last year was just the most awkward year ever with COVID. So there wasn't a lot for people to reflect on last year. But, I mean, in 2019, I mean, the FAU Owls, Conference USA champions, I mean, that was kind of the stigma around the program. I mean, I know Lane Kiffin was the coach at the time, but the whole kind of mindset was that hopefully Taggart can kind of continue the process and the program. I mean, like you mentioned, Taggart's an incredibly well-known coach, South Florida, then goes to Florida State. So making his rounds around Florida, great recruiter. And I think just as a whole, I mean, not trying to compare FAU to FIU, but you even saw it with Butch Davis and a lot of programs around it. Like, just the pandemic had such a weird thing on the entire team. So, just, I think this is kind of like, in my opinion, Taggart's first season, because COVID was just such a kind of a mulligan in a way. So this is the high expectations. And, you know, they got some graduate transfers that were awesome, a big key addition. So I think high expectations for FAU so far.
Yeah. And for people that remember, they played Georgia Southern last season under Taggart. And like you said, it was a lot of curveballs in there. That's a baseball term, but they were supposed to play early in the season in Statesboro. There was a COVID outbreak on the team on Florida Atlantic, and they had to postpone the game kind of like on the Friday, I believe, before the Saturday game. So that was a big adjustment. And they were able to play the game in Statesboro December 5th of last season. Georgia Southern won 20-3. It was kind of an interesting 20-3, which we can get into a little bit. But basically, Georgia Southern played very well. Florida Atlantic made some mistakes, had some turnovers. They had two interceptions and two fumbles lost out of two. Georgia Southern didn't have any turnovers. And kept Florida Atlantic off the board, even though they were able to put up some pretty good passing numbers. And they had a different quarterback situation, we should say, back then. But it wasn't Florida Atlantic at their best. And it was a pretty decisive win, which Georgia Southern didn't have. They had a lot of wins, but they didn't have that many that were clear-cut into the last play or the last series. So Florida Atlantic was 5-4 last year. Started, I guess they won five out of their first six games or something like that, right? And then they lost to Georgia Southern and started a short losing streak going into the bowl game, the Montgomery Bowl, I believe, so against Memphis. So who is their quarterback now? They have a different quarterback, and he's kind of a dangerous guy. And I'm quoting Chad Lunsford, the Georgia Southern coach, who said he's a dual-threat quarterback, and those guys give people trouble. So what about Nikosi Perry?
Yeah, I mean, Nikosi Perry, I mean, for those that may remember him, he was the former Miami Hurricanes quarterback not too long ago when he was with Jaren Williams controversy and everything. But, you know, Nikosi brings a lot of experience. I mean, he spent a lot of time with Miami. I mean, he is a dual threat guy to an extent, not super kill you with his legs, but smart guy. I mean, even when he was playing his first game, this week against the Gators, I mean, very poised. I mean, 19 of 33 passing. I mean, 261 yards, a touchdown. I mean, the offense as a whole, I mean, when you're talking to Taggart, he mentioned how sloppy everything was on offense. And that was the like the big the tier in that game. The defense played well. I mean, to hold the Gators only 14 points in the first half, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you're doing something right.
Right. Now, the final score of that game, correct me if I'm wrong, was 35-14.
Yes, sir.
And it was 14-0 at halftime, like you mentioned. And Florida scored, and Florida Atlantic scored two touchdowns, two of the three, not the last three scores of the game to get on the board. What was that game? I don't know what the spread was, but Florida at home to open the season, probably a heavy favorite.
Yeah, the Gators were definitely a heavy favorite. I mean, you're talking a big program. Like, they're ranked and everything like that. And as well as expectations are going around for Conference USA hopes, I mean, the hopes of taking down a top 25 school, I mean, that's just a little bit exceeding expectation. That's just a little too much, in my opinion.
So Florida won. Florida won clearly. But did Florida Atlantic take something from that? Like, hey, we can play with these guys, or hey, we've got a lot of work to do, or maybe both of that?
I think, like you mentioned at the last thing, a little bit of both. I think you could look at it with a positive. This defense played well, and we kind of knew that was going to be the cornerstone of this team coming in. I mean, forcing two interceptions against the Gators. I know it's Emory Jones. He's not Kyle Trask from last year. Mm-hmm. But to still turn over the ball, you're still doing something good. The offensive, just you were taking so long to get something together. I mean, when you're not giving anything going, I mean, you're turning over the ball. Like, and Tiger was mentioning it too. You're lining up in the wrong areas. You're making mental mistakes that shouldn't be made. I mean, that's just going to kill you. So you take at it with a positive mindset, but then at the same time, take it with a grain of salt, saying we need to make a lot of improvements on the offensive side of the ball. And that's something that Tiger's definitely got to look at.
Yeah. The like you say, Nicosi Perry, 6'4", I think 6'4", 198 is he's listed. So he's a tall guy, and like you said, very experienced. Had a good career in Miami. In fact, I guess it was the Cheez-It Bowl. He played very well, kind of as a swan song. Just saying Cheez-It Bowl is kind of funny to me. It's very literal when you think about it, because a bowl of Cheez-Its, I'm sure a lot of us have had those more than once. So,
and the trophy, but, you got to imagine, is it like a bowl of Cheez-Its on like a stand and everything? Is that what we're looking for the trophy?
And maybe a football shaped bowl. Let's go all the way with this. he's a graduate student, so he was free to move and play right away. Did he have any kind of issue with Miami that you know of, or was he just looking for a fresh start? And Florida Atlantic is not very far down the road or up the road from Coral Gables.
Yeah, definitely just a fresh start. I mean, his entire time when he was at Miami, it was a quarterback controversy with Jaren Williams, rather. One game Nicosi would start, one game James Williams would start. It would go back and forth, and it was just kind of a toxic situation. I mean, Nicosi, he had shining moments when he was at Miami. Like you mentioned, the Cheez-It Bowl, he played very well. And if you actually kind of talk around with Hurricane fans, I mean, Jaren Williams, he's at USF now, and he's not even listed as a starting quarterback. I think he's third string. And then you see Nicosi go down to Florida Atlantic, and he's the starter. So there's something to be said in that, I believe, with some type of grain of salt. But, I mean, definitely, I mean, and then also Derek King coming in from Miami. There was no chance that Nicosi was going to start over Derek King.
Yeah, he's a superstar down there. He's got a lot of NIL business going on, and he's a Heisman candidate. So maybe Nicosi Perry said, hey, look, I need a fresh start.
Exactly.
But he not only is he a Division I quarterback, but he's a veteran Division I quarterback who's a dual threat, right? He can run, he can pass. And this is going to be a challenge for any team. And Georgia Southern, it's hard to judge them based on one game. And they were playing against a pocket passer at Gardner Webb last week, Bailey Fisher. But I think he took off maybe once on a run. But the defense is going to have to prepare for that. What else from the FAU Owls offensive point of view? What else should Georgia Southern be looking for?
Yeah, definitely Johnny Ford and Malcolm Davidson, two running backs. They both had about 10 and 9 carries each. Ford had a touchdown in the game. It's definitely running back by committee, because I mean, even last year, I mean, you had James Charles, who took majority of the carries, was one of the leading rushers, and now he's third on the depth chart, it looks like, after he only took 2 carries. So very depthful, I feel like, at the running back position. And I think if they're going to try to, you know, compensate for their offensive woes, I think leaning on the running game would definitely be a benefit for them, as, you know, Nicosi's getting more comfortable with the new offensive coordinator that came in and everything like that. So that's something to be said as well. Michael Johnson, the new offensive coordinator that's coming in.
So they have a new quarterback, a proven quarterback, They've got fast running backs, and I hear they have some big tight ends too.
Yeah, big tight ends, good tight ends, good size. Not Harrison Bryant types tight ends that are going to the NFL draft or anything like that. Yeah. Definitely some good tight ends. Receivers are very talented. I mean, you have Brandon Robinson, who scored the touchdown this past week. In my opinion, he's a big body type of wide receiver that's kind of connecting kind of early with Nikosi in this offense so far.
Mm-hmm. The Florida Atlantic under Lane Kiffin, who's pretty well known too, they were very dangerous. They had a great record. Like I said, I think they were 11-3, 2 out of 3 years or something. They won the conference USA, go to bowl games. Willie Taggart comes in, known as a builder of programs, whether they're small at his alma mater, Western Kentucky, or USF, which has had its moments over the years. And then he goes to Oregon, which is a proven program, but I guess it'd been down, and he makes the Ducks a winner again. And then I guess it all kind of fell apart in Florida State very quickly. Just to recap, you're in the same state. I'm not that far from Tallahassee here, but to my recollection, Florida State is not used to losing with regularity to teams that they regularly beat. Especially, they could lose the big game to a Notre Dame like the other night in overtime, and they'll probably live with that. But it was a tough one. But Willie Taggart it was a different Willie Taggart team, right?
It was awful. Not trying to be over exaggerated or anything like that, but when Jimbo Fisher left, he goes to Texas A&M. I mean, right. You have Jameis Winston, Heisman, 2013 national champions, all this kind of amazing highlights about the program, and then, you know, enter Willie Taggart, and it just really fell apart really quickly. And it deteriorated, and it's honestly been embarrassing for the Florida State fans over the last couple of years, just trying to get their footing back under the program.
Right, and the other night was a big game. I know we're taping on Tuesday, so it'll be a couple days old, more than a couple days, but a very exciting game. And there was a local kid. This is not anything to do with George Sutton, but Kalen DeLoach is a linebacker at Florida State. I think recruited by Willie Taggart to come to Florida State, and he was a superstar here at Islands High School, All American type, and he led the team with 8 tackles the other night. So Florida State looks like they're on their way back. So Florida State's on the way back. Florida Atlantic, where Willie Taggart is now, seems to be in pretty good shape. I mean, I know they didn't beat Florida, but that wasn't anybody's expectation outside of maybe Boca Raton. So what do you like about the we'll talk about the defense first. What do you like about the defense? And there's a guy with a great name who people might remember not so fondly from the last time Georgia Southern played, well, the only time Georgia Southern's played Florida Atlantic. Chase Lassiter, the linebacker, is back, and he had, I think it was 15 tackles, including 11 solo tackles. Just wreaked havoc all over the field for Florida Atlantic against Georgia Southern. So they're definitely keeping an eye on this guy, Chase Lassiter. Great name for linebacker, Chase.
There's just certain football names that just go so well together.
Yeah, or Chase Young for the Washington football team. Just a guy that's always in pursuit of the ball carrier just fits, right?
Definitely.
No, and the parents knew something.
They just knew. It's like when you see Dash and he's like the running back or something like that. They just knew something was going on there.
Yeah, and the UGA Bulldogs have a guy named Speed, so there you go.
DeAndre Swift back in the day.
Yeah, DeAndre, not back in the day, that was like 2 seasons ago. Okay. Now I'm feeling even older. But so what does the defense bring? I think they have kind of an odd strategy, some odd schemes that they were talking about yesterday on Statesboro. On Mondays, they have a couple players and head coach Chad Lunsford talk about the previous game and the game coming up, and they said that Florida Atlantic has kind of an odd, off-balance kind of line. They do some things. I guess they squeeze the linemen inside, kind of bottle up the inside more than some teams do in a 3-4 pack or 4-3 package. What do you like about the defense there?
Yeah, no, the defense is honestly what you're kind of mentioning. The strength is the front seven. The front seven is fantastic for FAU, like really able to keen in well. I mean, with the return of Kiki back to the team, we weren't really expecting him to be back at all, if we're being brutally honest. I mean, he was a playmaker for FAU for 2 seasons. I mean, more than that dating. And then to have him return to the talented front seven that they already have, I mean, there's a lot of high expectations, and you have a great corner in Zion Gilbert, who's very experienced. He was on the Conference USA watch list. So, like I mentioned, the defense to hold UF to 14 points at the end of the first half, I mean, that was kind of a statement for them, like showing that we can kind of keep up with the big dogs to kind of an extent. And unfortunately, the offense was the shortcoming for that game, sure. But the defense's front seven is definitely something that needs to be looked at. And they're probably going to rely on it heavy. I mean, Taggart was already mentioning, I mean, with Georgia Southern loving to run the ball as much as they did.
I'm sure you guys bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys rushed the ball over like 60 times or something like that this past game. So the front seven is just going to be so important to set the tone, make sure that they can kind of just get out early to an extent.
Okay. I want to ask you more about what Florida Atlantic's been saying about that Georgia Southern triple option attack, but I'm going to take a pause here for a commercial message for the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. So bear with me. We'll be back with our guest, Brett Schwecke of the Sun Sentinel, who covers the Florida Atlantic Owls. And we'll be right back with Brett. But right now I want to plug the best source for local news in Savannah, the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. You want to know the latest on the Georgia Southern football team, which high school teams are hot, which ones are not. In the Coastal Empire, how about the Savannah State Tigers that they got started last weekend against Valdosta State? They have a home game this weekend against Livingstone, one of a three-game homestand. So we'll be talking about, I'll be writing about Savannah State this week. So we'll have all that and more, including news features and opinion columns. And if you aren't a subscriber, now's the time to try us out. You can get a full access to all of our digital content. Forget this, $1 a month for the next 6 months. That's practically giving it away. $1 a month. You can work out the math. $1 a month for six months, or actually, just it may even be right now for with the holiday, Labor Day holiday, might be $1 for 6 months. So check out the specials. Go to SavannahNow.com, subscribe now, and sign up. SavannahNow.com/subscribe now, and see what the rate is today. It's going to be a very good rate. We appreciate all of our readers, and thanks for your support. And now let's go back to the show. Okay, we're back with Brett Schwecke of the Sun Sentinel, who covers the Florida Atlantic Owls. They're this week's opponent for the Georgia Southern Eagles, 3:30 p.m. in Boca Raton at FAU Stadium. How come they don't have a fancy name for that stadium yet, Brett? You got to know all the answers when I throw questions at you like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in South Florida, we love making names for everything. It's now the FTX Arena for where the Heat plays, no longer the American Airlines Arena. And if you chronicle the Dolphin Stadium, it's been Joe Robbie to Pro Player to Dolphin, Hard Rock, Land Shark, Sun Life. So I have no answer for that.
You sound like a local. So I'm going to show my age in addition to all the video here. I covered the Dolphins, just their home games, when I worked in South Florida way back in the 80s. And I covered their first couple seasons at what was Joe Robbie Stadium. Joe Robbie, I think, was still alive back then. He was the longtime owner of the Miami Dolphins, I believe. And I was there for opening game, or certainly a few home games. Dan Marino was the quarterback. People may know him from now broadcasting or commercials, maybe for Hanes, but he was quite a Hall of Fame quarterback. So slowly now, Joe Robbie Stadium, which is a nice honor for the longtime Dolphins, and the Dolphins are one of the big time successful franchises in the NFL history. What did it go? I care more, maybe more than everybody else here. Went from Joe Robbie to, was it Landshark?
It was Pro Player, and then it was just Dolphin Stadium at one point.
Okay, kind of a bridge to something else.
Yeah, and then it went to all these commercialized names to Landshark, which was awful. Sun Life, which was
Wait, isn't Landshark a beer, though?
Yeah, the Jimmy Buffett beer or whatever, just... like Landshark. Why? We're the Dolphins. Why are we slang sharks? And then Sun Life.
Okay, so you're looking at the confusion of the marine species there.
Yeah,
marine
like what? Okay. So very confusing. And then Sun Life Stadium, which is a bank, which is not very intimidating or have nothing to do with South Florida. But I think they've, all honesty, I think they nailed it with Hard Rock. Like Hard Rock, the Seminole Indians down here with all the casinos and everything, kind of got that ambiance. It's nice, and especially all the new advancements they made. The stadium's beautiful.
I probably wouldn't recognize the stadium now. I'm sure they had hot and cold running water when I covered it. But everything was brand new. So, but FAU is in Boca Raton, which is an affluent part of South Florida, and they are going to that program. Tell me if I'm wrong. Was started by Howard Schnellenberger, who was one of the great names and impactful coaches in college football history. You know, not only people may know him as the guy who got the football program started at FAU, but they'll know him from Louisville. They'll know him. He was an assistant to Bear Bryant way back in the day. But he's been successful everywhere he's been, and he passed away earlier this year, I believe.
Yeah, Schnellenberger is a South Florida icon. I mean, helping establish Florida Atlantic as that program. I mean, being part of the undefeated 1972 coaching staff with Don Shula, and then even accomplishing helping the Miami Hurricanes win their first national championship in 1983. Right. Just such a South Florida icon. I mean, we lost Don Shula not too long ago. I think like a year ago, too, mm-hmm. a year or two ago. So just the combination of the two, it's just been, it's like a little weird not having these Florida icons in this football anymore.
They were just always around. I mean, Don Shula has the characteristic chin and the jutting chin. And then Schnellenberger had the big bushy mustache, right?
Bushy mustache.
He looked like he wanted to sell you his car.
The corn pipe and everything, and it was just such a look and everything for Schnellenberger.
And that's a good transition. So that look is on a logo, right?
Mm-hmm. They're going to be honoring Schnellenberger this year on the back of the helmets, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. They're doing something more too at the home game at this home game. They're honoring him.
This is the first home game, right? In Gainesville last week.
Yeah, they're in Gainesville. So if I'm not mistaken, they're doing some type of tribute to Schnellenberger at this game.
Yeah. So and this is also maybe full capacity too, right? Is that the idea?
I know they're hopeful for it. I know there's no restrictions or anything like that.
No restrictions. I heard something about a cereal. Do you know about the cereal thing?
Cereal.
Okay, we'll check into it. But apparently, if you buy a box of cereal and bring it to the game, not only maybe just donating, but you can actually get in for very little price at admission. Oh. So they're going to really have a boost to attendance.
Promotion.
Yeah, promotion to make it almost free to get. Well, the price of a box of cereal depends which ones you get. Maybe I want to name a brand. Some are more expensive than others. So so it looks like Florida Atlantic is really gearing up for a real season without limitations. Let's bring it like you said before, earlier in our podcast, that last year was kind of a mulligan because, you know, I mean, they had so many of their early games canceled or postponed. Right. I mean, it was game after game after game. It's really tough to get going. And then the amazing thing is that they won, I think, 5 of the first 6. And then Georgia Southern put an end to that streak, and then they played some tough games, including the bowl game. So what is Florida Atlantic saying about Georgia Southern? And I'll give my theory here in a minute, but what are you hearing from Boca Raton about, we're playing this team from Statesboro, and we played them last year, so we kind of got a taste for what it is. What are they expecting, and kind of what's the strategy?
Yeah, you know, Taggart emphasized it already on Monday. So, you know, no sulking over the Gators, turning onto the page and concentrating on, you know, the Eagles. He mentioned defending running the ball for you folks. I mean, running over the ball 60 times, especially with that option that you guys run. He was mentioning discipline, responsibilities, mm-hmm. to quote him, how they need to line up the correct way, just doing the basics. Because that's what it's going to take to – if the Owls are going to beat the Eagles, they're going to have to try to stop your rushing game. And that's a daunting task in itself right there. You guys got some players, some dogs.
No, you're throwing dogs now in with the birds. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that too many headline writers are going to miss the opportunity of Owls versus Eagles. I don't know in the natural wildlife who wins that one. I'm going to say Eagles and the bald eagle maybe has the advantages over an owl, but maybe I only know the owl from the Tootsie Roll commercials. So he's not in the best of shape, like a lot of us. So the thing, I have this theory that when teams have only a week, I'm going to add to this, but they have a week between playing Florida in this case, and then you got is it FIU next week or another Air Force is coming up?
I don't think FIU's next. I got to check. I think it's Air Force, yeah. Or Fordham.
Fordham is next. You're right. Fordham is next. In the weeks ahead, Air Force, which runs a variation of a heavy run first offense, and then, of course, you have your big Don Shula Bowl against FIU, and I'm sure that'll be well attended. But when you have only a short time to 100% focus on the opponent that has an offense like Georgia Southern has, I think that's a distinct disadvantage, kind of what the advantage, why a lot of, but there's only a few teams that still have this run option, a run, triple option that's so run heavy. When teams have the whole summer to get ready for the Florida Gators, I know they're not spending the whole summer getting ready for the Florida Gators. They've spent time, maybe since last spring, like, hey, we play the second week of the season. We're scheduled to play Georgia Southern. Let's dedicate some hours here in the spring, some hours once they can have fall camp, and let's prepare for this option, because we're not going to be able to squeeze it all in 2 or 3 days, after Labor Day. So I think they've probably been preparing for it more than I know, but it's still difficult. Like you said, you've really got to – you hold your lanes. You gotta do your job and not kind of get sucked in too much. Really, like you said, keep your eyes, your head on a swivel, and keep your eyes on where you need to be, because you have to let your teammate make that tackle to the perimeter, right? If you're chasing too much, the quarterback keeps it, and he's got a hole, he's got a crease. If where you should have been, if you're the defensive lineman or maybe the linebacker, so. If there's a lot of split second decision making, and it's not like Georgia Southern's a piece of cake, is going to have a defense is going to have an easy time either. So both of these offenses are challenging. But like you said, and we can talk about it now. Georgia Southern, in their first game, they played Gardner Webb, which is an FCS school from Bowling Springs, North Carolina, and it seemed like a kind of a well designed program to open the season with, because Georgia Southern. You know, your first game, you got to get the kinks out, there's a lot of time management and position and, you know, just the game flow stuff. You want to work all that ahead of time, but this is real time under the lights kind of stuff. So the first opponent, if you're Georgia, you play Clemson, but most people don't open with a top five team. They open with a team where they can get the kinks out. And to add another layer to this, and this is something that still applies to the FAU game, the presumed starter for Georgia Southern was going to be Justin Tomlin, who's a redshirt junior right now. And he started four games in his career in place of when Shai Wirtz, who was the four-year starter, was unavailable either through injury or for other circumstances. Justin Tomlin went in, did a very solid job. He's appeared in 15 games, you know, coming off the bench, and including the four starts. And he looked like the presumed starter, but he had an academic issue, which they suspended him for the first two games, which includes the Gardner Webb game and includes the Florida Atlantic game. So what that means is Justin Tomlin cannot return to the team until the third week, which is at Arkansas, an SEC school. So interesting timing there, but also a non-conference game. So really, when you think about it, not a bad situation, as bad as it could be. But you have to start somebody. So they, while still giving Justin Tomlin some reps in practice, because you got to keep him sharp, they had to pick a starter. So they kept it very close to the vest. You might have been following this from a distance, but it was the same thing up close. It was either going to be Cam Ransom, who's from Florida, from Sefner, Florida, Armwood High School, true freshman, big arm, can run, but he's more known for his pass. He's been known for a lot of things. He's a dual threat, but he big passing arm, strong guy, big strong guy. Then Sam Kenderson, who's a redshirt freshman, played very little last year as a true freshman. He played four snaps, two on offense, two on special teams, got hurt. Kind of an electric runner, kind of in open space, very dangerous little guy compared to Cam. I think he's about 5'9", but Cam's 6'3", 215. So you have those two. And then as a wild card, Amari Jones, that transferred from Tulane this spring as a running back, wide receiver, kick and punt returner. That's his forte. So guess where he started on Saturday against Gardner Webb? Quarterback. So they told us this could happen, and they said the reason why is because for the opening game of the season, think about it, you don't, even if you don't know the names, do you put in a true freshman? Do you put in a guy that hasn't really shown yet that he doesn't really have an experience throwing the ball in Sam Kenderson? Or do you put in a guy who played high school quarterback at Frisco, Texas, but has been through 3 years at Tulane, has seen all kinds of stuff, very comfortable on the field, and because of the nature of the offense, he's not going to be asked to throw the ball out of the pocket. You know, he's not going to take three-step drops and wing it 60 yards down the field, and he didn't. he ran a very, I don't want to say managed game, but he ran a smart game, and he had some big big carries in the fourth quarter when they really needed it. So that's, so you say, well, who's going to start against Florida Atlantic? The answer is we don't know yet. They're going to use practice this week. Yeah, you can laugh. They don't know yet. They're going to use practice this week to determine it. But the safe thing is it's going to be Amari Jones and Cam Ransom in a rotation. That's from the mouth of Chad Lunsford. Both quarterbacks, he said, played solid game, had good games, especially since they hadn't played quarterback in a college game before. And he liked how they handled it. Neither one, they didn't have a turnover. Nobody had a turnover for Georgia Southern. That was the key. Now, on the other hand, Georgia Southern's been one of the top five teams in the country the last 5 years in creating turnovers. Their plus minus is way statistically an outlier, and they didn't have any turnovers last week. So if you want to look for something Saturday that they're going to really hope to see happen from a Georgia Southern point of view is turnovers. And you saw how that was reversed last year at the, when Florida Atlantic had the turnovers. It really cost them any kind of comeback ability. They never really got into, you know, one or two scores. Once you got to the late parts of the game, they were too far behind, and they just had to throw the ball. And they made a quarterback switch from Posey to Tondi, was it?
Nick Tronti.
Yeah, Tronti. So this year may not come to that, but anyway, the Georgia Southern in the opening game, like you said, they ran the ball heavily. One of the goals this season is more of a change of pace in the tempo. So sometimes it's more of a hurry up, sometimes it's more deliberate, but it keeps the defense off balance. They're not purely a hurry up, they're not purely the deliberate, they're just changing. And they were able to run a lot more plays. They were actually ran so many plays that they were wondering if they were a little out of gas by the end of the game. I mean, this is their words. And Coach Chad Lunsford said yesterday, Monday, was that he looked at the tape. And he wouldn't say they were out of gas. He thought the effort was there. They just didn't execute as well as they hoped to. And they had a couple breakdowns. And this is something Florida Atlantic could look for. One of the big breakdowns, and this could happen to any team, was on big pass plays for Gardner Webb. That's how they were able to stay in it. They hung around because they had 40-yard big explosive plays, big chunks of yards out of, you know, they'd be a first down and 10, second down and 9, third down, 40 yards, you know, just kind of like, and they had a trick play where a wide receiver took a lateral and then threw it for a touchdown. And that brought Gardner-Webb back into it again. So Georgia Southern is going to be looking to cut down on the big plays from a defensive secondary point of view. What Chad Lunsford said was dirty eyes. Instead of having clear eyes and seeing what's actually going on, kind of misreading the play, either being tricked on a trick play or a double move. The first big touchdown pass from the quarterback, Bailey Fisher, was a double move where the defensive back bit on the first move, and then he got, you know, then the wide receiver was behind him, and then it was too late. So just like that, it only takes a few seconds for a team to get burned. And have you seen that Florida Atlantic has that capability where they can throw short, medium, and long-range passes? I know it was hard to tell based on one.
Yeah, I mean, mentioning, like, especially with Nkosi Perry, I mean, we saw that when he was at Miami. He has the ability to go long. He has the ability to go middle. It really, in my opinion, it matters on FAU's playmakers if they can do that. I mentioned Brandon Robinson earlier, and other than that, I feel like it's a very unproven wide receiver room, along with just skill sets as a whole. So I know Nkosi can get the ball down the field. It's just who's going to help him make the play to get down to the field. And they were making a lot of mistakes early on in the game, or throughout the entire game for three quarters until they finally were able to score the two touchdowns at the end. So I don't know. I don't want to say yes or no to that because it's such an unknown so far. Perry can do it. Can the team do it? I don't know if the team can do it.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time here. Brett, you've been great. I want to give you one last comment. What do you expect to see happen on Saturday?
Yeah, I actually expect a very low scoring game, kind of like we were mentioning. FAU's offense is just really not getting together. Hopefully they can this week, especially a lot of running. I think they're going to try to reciprocate the rushing attack. It's going to be a fast moving game. I think FAU will win. That's just my opinion, but take that with a grain of salt. That means nothing.
I will. I understand your position, but literally just seeing when you're up close, seeing a team, you see their warts and all. You see the good stuff and you see the bad stuff, and then you kind of see what rises to the top. And right now you think on this Saturday there'll be more good than bad enough to win.
Definitely. And I think another thing that you mentioned was they're still on a losing streak going from last year. So I think there is kind of like this mentality of like, we haven't won a game in a while. Like, I know there's kind of like a cliche around that, but you know, there's positives and negatives you took away from the Florida game, and you're going into this Georgia Southern game. Willie Taggart, he needs to get another win. So I definitely think FAU, they kind of have a little bit of a pressure on their end this game.
Okay, I'm going to be brief. Maybe I'm saved by the bell here, but Georgia Southern played way too close of a game last week for expectations. Like, they got a real scare at the end. They seemed to be like on the verge of just being in control, and they played a good first half. They're up 20-6, really solid first half. Second half, they got outscored 19-10. And I know these are literal things, but the coach has been harping this week since Saturday night. The players too, they're like, this game wasn't up to our standards. This was, you come that close to perhaps losing a few plays, a couple series go the other way. So that would have been, it's actually kind of the way they were living last year too. A lot of close games. They beat who they were supposed to beat. They lost who they were supposed to lose to on paper. But the close games kind of bounced out. They won some close games against lesser opponents. They lost some close games against some very good opponents that they wish they could have had back. One or two plays against Army or a ranked Louisiana team. They got 10 wins instead of 8. They got maybe 11 wins, or maybe they only get 6 or 7, depending on about. Okay, so I think they're going to be hyper focused this week, and it is a road game, so there's a disadvantage there. But I think if they're up to it, if they can fill it, they're going to really be sharper, a lot sharper for Florida Atlantic than maybe they would have been if they had a big blowout win, which is what they were hoping for, not expecting, but hoping for. So on that note, we're going to see what happens. I think if they play like they did last week, I think they're going to have a real tough task. And on paper, Florida Atlantic will be challenging. And like what we saw against Florida, I think they've got the talent to make a challenging game. I just don't know who's going to make more mistakes, who's going to make the big plays, whether it's a big chunk play or a special teams play like last year when they played. They had a punt return for the first touchdown. It was a relatively low-scoring game. So I think you might be right there if the Georgia Southern offense and the running attack, a lot of long drives to take a while. If there's not a lot of quick hitters, some home run plays, then it is going to be low scoring and it's going to be tight. And that's, we'll leave it at that. Brett, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hopefully if they play again next year, we'll have you back. We might have you back anyway. I'll double your pay. How about that?
No, thank you so much. This was an honor. I very much appreciate the time. It was great speaking some football again.
Yeah, great. That's so true. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the show. Hope you come back next week when we talk about the Arkansas game and the quarterback situation, no doubt. So everybody, thanks very much. Have a great day, and we'll see you Saturday. Thanks very much.
Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way.